This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Free Talk Live broadcast Sunday through Wednesday from the Omdusia Studio, formerly the Omdusia's Music Studio. But as you can see, I've relocated the drum set because it was big and bulky, and I didn't play it often enough to keep it out here. Plus, it doesn't really need to be out here for me to play it, since I'm way too busy to be recording music at the moment anyway. So there's still some minor issues to work out, but all in all, I'm happy with how things are developing. Got the mic mutes ordered today. They're not going to be here for like another 2 weeks, though. So,
but, yay, cough blocker.
Yeah, that'll be good. And, you know, we need some sort of little magnet thing for people to fidget with while they're sitting here doing the show. You know, little quality of life improvements here and there. A better AC, because that AC worked very well.
When there was one person here?
Well, when there was one person here and when there wasn't a ton of electrical equipment out here all the time, generating a massive amount of heat. Over there on that side of the room, it feels great. But over here, where I have a $4,000 gaming PC sitting beside me, it's a bit toasty. I mean, it's not unbearably hot, but it is slightly warmer than I would like it to be. And, you know, I like it to be very warm during the winter and very cool during the summer, because I am a human being. I have the technological capabilities to control the environment in a way that makes me comfortable. Conan, on the other hand, is like, no, I want my heat set at 52 during the winter. I'm like, dude, I'm not going below 73.
So I really did just briefly want to clarify a point from earlier. So drinking bleach, also not a violation of the non-aggression principle. Also a really bad idea.
Well, yes, the non-aggression principle was never supposed to be a moral compass. It was never supposed to be a suggestion of what is and isn't a good idea. It is just the bare baseline of what is and isn't acceptable behavior.
It tells you what's evil. It doesn't tell you what's good.
So yes.
Violating it is evil. Using force, coercion, fraud to get your way in the world is evil.
Yes, but it's not the full extent of what could be considered evil. Like, you're not violating the NAP to stand there and let someone be run over in the street because they don't see a car coming.
Well,
I would argue that's still evil.
I would argue that's not evil, it's ugly. Like, that's
I would argue it's evil to let another human being die when you could prevent it. I mean, morality is subjective, absolutely. And, you know, you're free to disagree with that. But from my point of view, it's immoral not to not even put yourself at risk, but to say, hey, there's a car coming, get out of the street. Refusing to do that, I would say it's immoral.
I wouldn't. I think that morality per se does not place positive obligations on you. Doesn't mean you have to do a thing. All you have to do is leave me alone and you're moral. That doesn't mean that you are not an ugly, disgusting, horrible human being. It just means you're not an ugly, disgusting, evil, horrible human being.
That's where I disagree.
So, like,
I would characterize a horrible, disgusting human being as probably an evil human being.
Okay, so, like, locking someone up because they're a danger is something that
is... Well, see, now you're just restricting the non-aggression principle as determining what is evil.
Well, okay, so...
And my position is that that's not the sole determining factor of what is and isn't evil.
And I think it is. So, I mean...
Right, we're not going to come to an agreement on this. We just disagree. We should probably just move on.
Well, one thing that I think we can agree on, and maybe not, is that it does give you the idea of when you get to use force against a person. So, like, if I found out that someone was doing that, I would absolutely destroy their reputation. I would never do business with them. I would make it very hard for them to be in any kind of community by spreading that information, because most people also agree that that's gross. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to use force against them.
Right.
And that's the line there.
So you define an immoral act as one that is one that creates a justification for the use of force?
Yeah, that's the difference between evil and ugly. In philosophy, there's two different, there's morality and there's aesthetics. So aesthetics is the study of beauty. So saving someone's life from a car is a beautiful thing. And to not do that when you easily could is an ugly thing to do. But it's not evil and good.
Well, it depends on which philosopher you ask. Nietzsche would certainly disagree, and he would describe good as the desire, the will to power, and having power over others.
Well,
and weakness as being evil.
Nietzsche got some things right and some things wrong.
Right, you disagree with him.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with you about the non-aggression principle being the sole determining factor in what isn't evil.
Well, I would say making the world a good place is, you know, a moral thing. But, you know, it's
but
not
you're
your
not
obligation.
Obligated.
You're not obligated to do it. But
is failing to do it immoral?
No. Well, if you have the knowledge and you fail to make an action, I would say you're breaking, let's hope that you're breaking your own morality, but that's subjective. Yeah.
How can doing a thing be considered moral if not doing that thing is not considered immoral?
It's not, it's not moral to do it. It's beautiful. It is a beautiful thing to save a human being's life from an oncoming truck. And to not save a human being's life when you easily could from an oncoming truck is an ugly, disgusting thing to do.
Yeah, we just disagree on the definitions of immorality here. I think we should move on.
Okay. All right.
So we were talking, before we got into this, we were talking about Bitcoin. Because yeah. I hold the position that it's moral to not use money that is dropping bombs on people.
Sure.
And I think we all agree on that point.
Yeah, to the extent that you can use the money that isn't killing people, and you don't, that is immoral. Now, we haven't established the point where we can use that 100% of the time yet.
But what if you just, you know, we're not using the money that was given to us by government, per se. I mean, it's government money, but they didn't, like, give me this money to do good with, right? You know, like, if some people in welfare or, you know, if you're military industrial complex, there's the difference. So, like, if you're a welfare recipient, you can do good with that money, but if you're a, you know, I think what's really the welfare recipient corporate welfare recipient, which is like the defense contractors, they're using that money for evil, you know? So, like, it depends on how you're using it, I guess. And, you know, so.
Well, you could certainly use the USD to, like, buy groceries for a family that is starving or something like that. But
that's a beautiful thing to do.
It would be better to use some other form of currency.
Oh, absolutely. Even more beautiful.
One that doesn't, you know, have taxes on it that go on to fund the war machine, and one that isn't being inflated.
Right, you're not encouraging that system. You're not encouraging a system which uses those same exchanges for war. You're using something that can't be used for war. Well, let's hope it can't be, because I think maybe possibly it could be used for war if they're starting to adapt it. Like you were saying, I think America, El Salvador is going to make Bitcoin a currency, a national currency. So what if they used Bitcoin in El Salvador to fund their military?
They'll go broke real quick.
Maybe.
No, not maybe. I mean, like, you can do the research if you like on the economics, but seriously, it's broken window fallacy. I mean, the fact is that over time, I mean, yeah, you might be able to get away with it briefly.
Okay, yeah, sure.
But the fact that you're not creating value means that you're not making something that gives you money back again.
Well, they are using something of value. Let's just say they're using electricity in El Salvador at their bases to mine crypto.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're doing a service for the community by mining crypto and confirming transactions.
Right.
So then they, in return, can say, oh, we got some crypto. We can use this to buy more guns. Or,
well, yeah, but if you use that...
I don't know that you can buy guns with crypto. You know, that
maybe in El Salvador you can.
You can't just call up a defense contractor like Lockheed Martin and say, hey, I want to buy a bunch of bombs. You take Bitcoin. They'll say no. But you know what they do take? USD.
Well, they already act in the dark anyway. So it's like, what if they did just start using it? And then they'd be like, oh, yeah, see, we didn't receive all this USD. And then they're like, where'd it come from? Oh, it's none of your business. You know, it's like... Because it's crypto now, it's anonymous.
If
El Salvador, Bitcoin is all anonymous.
No.
So if El Salvador uses a functional currency, which is what Bitcoin is, it's not the most functional one. But
no, I would argue it's completely non-functional as a currency.
Compared to the U.S. dollar, compared to fiat,
yeah,
compared to any fiat currency, it is a functional currency.
No, not at all. I don't pay, you know... $5 transaction fees to send $20 in USD anywhere.
Yeah, but it doesn't get printed to do all these things either.
That doesn't make it functional and not functional as a currency, though.
More functional than the other.
No, because a currency that has exorbitantly high fees isn't usable as a currency. What are your thoughts? 603-283-6166.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback, and they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps as restrictions come to an end and you get back to work. Do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
About what we're talking about. talking about this, what is this Bitcoin thing, then check out Bitcoin.com. It's the place to go to learn about cryptocurrency. They have everything you need, including step-by-step tutorials. There's a quick 3-minute video that gives you the rundown on what Bitcoin is. There's also news sites for people who already know about Bitcoin and want to learn about what's happening in the Bitcoin world. You can find that at news.bitcoin.com. It is the best place to learn about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin, really, it's paradigm shifting. It's affecting international institutions, and it's going to continue impacting these international institutions for decades to come. It's a very big deal. If you don't know anything about it yet, it's time to. So go to Bitcoin.com and find out what you can before, you know, the ship actually sails. It's not about, you know, making a bunch of money or anything like that. It's about investing. I don't want to use the word investing. It's about staking your claim in the new world that is developing. So check it out, Bitcoin.com or news.bitcoin.com, or even, no, I don't want to go there. Bitcoin.com, though, and news.bitcoin.com. That's where you want to be to learn about this. Donald Trump should pay a visit to Bitcoin.com because evidently he thinks it's a scam. It's fool's gold.
Yeah, he really should. I mean, they don't even require you to read anything. Like, they've got these nice, simple little helpful videos that tell you what it is and how it works.
Well, Don was saying not only one doubting Bitcoin and more importantly its reliability, but its rationale is quite strange.
You were like talking to the side of your mic.
Oh. It was quite strange, he chalks his hesitation up to America first, or the dollar first, rather. And that's him speaking as a Republican there, you know. But Donald Trump,
I mean, they're all about that America first nonsense. I prefer, even want to say humanity first, earthlings first.
Absolutely. Even if your biggest concern is America, okay, guess who has the biggest chunk of U.S. dollar debt? China. Yeah, they want the Federal Reserve note to hold its status because they have a whole lot of it.
I think as a president, you want to say, oh, the U.S. dollar is the king, right? And, like, you know, having a global currency as a dollar and all these debts around the world and whatever, whatnot, it's like, of course you're going to, like, have all that momentum and faith behind it just for your own face value as a president. So I can see why he's, like, you know, brushing this off a little bit.
Well, I would expect Donald Trump, former U.S. President Donald Trump, to be a shill for the U.S. dollar.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And here's the thing. He could have actually fixed it. Like, if the man would ever read a friggin' book, he might know how the Fed works.
I don't know to what extent the president would have been able to fix the mess that is the USD.
So the Federal Reserve is actually part of the executive branch. Now, the Treasury has given it all of these extra powers, but he could, by his powers, end the Federal Reserve single-handedly.
You don't think someone would have put a bullet in his head long before he could have done that?
I don't know, man. One press conference where you announce, here's what I'm doing, it would look awful suspicious if he had a bullet in his head afterward.
And to reiterate what you guys are saying is that Donald Trump says Bitcoin is just another currency competing against the dollar, and that he wants traditional greenbacks, making it sound good by using the word greenbacks, right? Because it's not really green.
As if U.S. dollars were actual bills.
Yeah, a lot of people think the USD is the greenback, but wasn't the greenback like a temporary currency during the Civil War?
Yep, right. The payback debts.
Yeah, that Lincoln invented so that, you know, they could inflate that currency instead.
Mm-hmm. I think this shows his, you know, intelligence levels by saying something like that.
I don't know about intelligence levels, but it certainly shows his knowledge levels.
Well, that's the thing. He's great at marketing. I mean, you can't argue with that. And, yeah, that is a term that makes people feel secure. They like...
Good old greenbacks.
A lot of the times when you say a term, you really want someone to have a mental image of the word that you're using. And the word greenback makes them think of the physical, tangible bill that's in their pocket and gives the illusion that that's actually what the U.S. dollar is, in spite of the fact that that's been less than 3% of the dollars, like between all of the bills and all of the coins, has been less than 3% of the U.S. dollar for a long time.
I like using the term warbacks. Okay, that's what they really are. But
it is backed by war.
Donald Trump is, you know, he looks at Bitcoin as the foreign enemy. That's what he says. It's just, it's crazy.
Well, I would expect this level of jingoism from Donald Trump. I mean, he's a nationalist. I don't know if he's a racist nationalist, but he's certainly an America first kind of person. He's 100% pro-United States government. Bitcoin was designed not necessarily to be a threat to the U.S. government, but to be a threat to the U.S. banking system, including the Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, that was all by design. It was intentional from the start. The United States government could very easily start producing something actually useful to society in order to earn some Bitcoin and transition to using Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily an enemy of the U.S. government, except that the U.S. government has allied itself to the U.S. financial system that is impoverishing all the American people.
And this idea that the U.S. dollar dominance is an America first mindset, absolutely not. I mean, how long did we have a great thing going economically when we were using gold? I mean, I hate to tell you, but we didn't invent gold. And we were doing a great job when that's what our money was, gold and maybe gold and silver.
Yeah, but we couldn't pay for the war in Vietnam.
Turns out it's really hard to fund genocides for no reason when you're using actual money.
Yes, and that's the primary reason people should use alternative currencies. It's because they have to actually pay their soldiers. And if they have to actually earn what they're paying soldiers, as I say repeatedly, it comes right back to that argument of, well, if employers want to get employees that are on unemployment, they should just pay more. No, that's not fair. They're competing with an institution that can create all the money it wants. It
right.
doesn't have to earn any of it. The business down the street has to earn their money. So let's put the U.S. government in the position of having to earn their money. And this massive overspending, these wars will stop.
Isn't it ironic, though, that fighter jet pilots keep a gold ounce on them just in case they go down randomly in a country?
Right.
As if that's tangible currency.
Yeah. And I gotta say, every single constitutionalist I've ever spoken with wants to end the Fed. Now, I'm not a constitutionalist, but everyone who's concerned with, hey, here's the foundational document of the country, we should do that. All of them are like, no, the Fed is completely against this.
I don't understand constitutionalists, man. It's like, look, if the Constitution worked, we wouldn't be in this position. Clearly, it didn't work. Why would we want to return to that? It's not going to work again.
Yeah. The Constitution is this groupthink that we all have the same Constitution, but in reality is that we all have our own moral compass and base as individuals, and to put everyone under the same umbrella for that, it doesn't make any sense. So,
well,
I mean, I appreciate their hard work, and like it kind of, you know, established what my morality is, but I definitely developed my own after learning that and redefining the word constitution.
Well, and I mean, it's supposed to be the contract that we have for the country, but here's the thing. If you don't have someone else that can offer the service, then the person is not going to follow the contract they made with you.
I didn't make any contract with the United States government. They say I did,
right.
But I
mean,
didn't.
Did your tiny kid sign that piece of paper when you were born?
They did not. If they want to make the argument that, oh, well, you know, we were here when you were born, okay, well, my family was here when you were born. So, back off. 603-283-6160. This.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Department of Justice has received $2.3 million of the ransom Colonial Pipeline paid to the hacking group DarkSide, the FBI obtaining the password to the hacker's Bitcoin account. During a news conference, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco saying, "Today we turn the table on DarkSide." She also said,
"Ransomware attacks are always unacceptable, but when they target critical infrastructure, we will spare no effort in our response."
Two people will be arraigned on Tuesday for a road rage shooting that left a six-year-old dead in Southern California. Orange County District Attorney Todd Spritzer is praising law enforcement for their efforts to find the suspects. A couple, 24-year-old Marcus Ertz and 23-year-old Wynn Lee, were arrested Sunday night for killing Aiden Leos. This is USA Radio News. The White House is responding to criticism as to why President Biden didn't post a commemoration of the 77th D-Day invasion on Sunday. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki telling reporters,
"Well, I can tell you that certainly the his value for the role that men who served on D-Day and the memory of them, the families who have kept their memories alive over the course of years on this day, is something the president has spoke to many, many times in the past. It's close to his heart, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's more we would have to say on it."
Yeah. The White House briefing room also returning to full capacity. Major airline executives want travel between the United States and the United Kingdom to be more convenient. They're calling on President Biden to allow UK travelers to freely cross the pond if they are fully vaccinated or can prove they've tested negative for COVID-19. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back. It is Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to join the discussion, that's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight is Aria, Peakless, and Joa. And we've been talking largely, we've been all over the place, but focus mostly on Bitcoin. And evidently, Donald Trump isn't a fan of Bitcoin because it, quote, competes with the U.S. dollar, and he just hates that.
An invasive species of currency.
So they would say, but, you know, other people support cryptocurrency. There's Elon Musk. I don't know what game he's playing because I don't really follow him that closely.
We all know what's going on with that.
I have no idea what's going on with that. Enlighten me.
Well, this is what I think, and I think everyone else is thinking the same thing, is that Elon is, you know, speaking up for junk coins. He's supporting junk coins.
Dogecoin has proven to be a remarkably successful cryptocurrency.
Oh, it is, but the junkiest of junk coins.
Yeah, and that's what's going on, is like, all right, maybe Bitcoin might have been the reaching coin for everyone in the first place, and then they've gone into the altcoins. Well, he's not promoting the Bitcoin anymore. He's supporting the Dogecoin. And once people realize the Dogecoin is not that great, they're going to be switching over to the alt. So, thank you, Elon, in ways.
Well, I actually don't think that's what's going to happen at all. I think that I think it's a long game. I think that he's inflating the Dogecoin. I think that it's going to be everyone in everyone's mind, there will be two kinds of cryptocurrency, and only two. There will only be the unspendable Bitcoin and the... I think they're going to long-term destroy Dogecoin.
What is Dogecoin's current value?
It's like 34 cents, I think.
That's insane, man.
That is wild.
When I was arrested on March the 16th, the last I knew, it was like a tenth of a penny, maybe a penny, something like that. And I held quite a significant sum of Dogecoin because, you know, it used to be like a tenth of a penny. You could buy as much as you wanted. And it didn't really make any difference. You know, dropping $50 on Dogecoin got you 50,000 Dogecoin. I don't know the exact math right now. Now you're like, hey, it's 34 cents a piece. I'm like, man, that sounds great.
I mean, I got it for
free. Too bad I can't do anything about it.
Someone was just giving it away years ago, and I was like, okay.
Well, someone used to give away Bitcoin for free.
Yeah.
Roger Ver did it at the Porcupine Freedom Festival several years ago. He would give, I think it was 10 Bitcoin to anyone who would install a wallet.
Wow.
And, of course, there's been the crypto giveaways here in New Hampshire that have been done by the Shire Free Church for the last several years, where just by entering into the contest, they will give you $25 in Bitcoin and $25 in Bitcoin Cash. Obviously, this has been put on hiatus for the foreseeable future, but each month there was a winner who would receive $250 in Bitcoin and $250 in Bitcoin Cash to use however they wanted because it's their money. So there's a long history of people just giving away cryptocurrency. Just, hey, just get involved in it. Just come on board and... we'll give it to you.
Yeah, at the moment, it's at 33.
And there was
still insane for Dogecoin, man.
Well, it was at like 64 until he started shooting his friggin' mouth off.
He does that. Wasn't there one year at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, though, where it hit like a dollar or something? This was before I started attending, so I've only heard about this, you know,
well,
hearsay.
I remember, I think it was 2010, it was Liberty Forum, and once Bitcoin surpassed silver, we were all cheering. So I think it was like $15 at the time. And once we looked at this, you know, code as more valuable than physical 1 ounce silver, and it just blew our mind. And that's when I invested, but I sold out early after buying into it then. I was glad that I did it, but if I held on to it, I'd probably be pretty wealthy by now.
But yeah, getting back to your
earlier... Or you'd have government crosshairs on your back.
There is that.
Uh-huh.
But getting back to your earlier point, I don't think that people are going to go to other altcoins when they sink Doge.
I think it's going to be a reason for them to turn away from cryptocurrency, just like in 2018 or wherever, whenever it was, when it hit, you know, 20,000 the first time, all of these people bought in, and then it crashed, and they sold, and I guarantee you those people are not buying back in. Because they were like, no, I bought in last time and I lost all this money.
And it's so, like, well, if you hadn't friggin' sold it, you'd still be, like, up until recently, I mean, up until very recently, it was worth double what you bought in.
That was a universally true statement. Back when it was $62,000, anyone who had ever bought cryptocurrency and held it had gained value.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not true right now because I think Bitcoin is down to like 35,000. I don't know. It's been hovering since March the 16th.
And that's the thing. So, like, the most recent peak was at 60-something. And the peak before that was at 17,000. So even if you bought it at the very worst time in the last cycle, if you bought it and held on to it, you have doubled your money.
Well, not really, because you still have the same amount of Bitcoin. But that value, that Bitcoin's value relative to the USD has doubled.
Well, that's why I say buy. I am presuming that they used the dollar to buy it.
Well, the dollar being inflated is certainly helping the value of Bitcoin when measured in USD.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because as the USD becomes more and more worthless, by definition, Bitcoin becomes more and more valuable.
It's become a great measure to how the dollar looks.
Yeah.
And that's the
one might even call it a Bitcoin standard.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah, well, I've been comparing Bitcoin to other coins versus USD, and a lot of people still use the USD denominator for their comparison. Well, probably not the best strategy if you're looking at something that's crashing.
Well, it's not, but it's the most useful strategy. Like, if you tried to sell me a table that was, you know, 120 centimeters long, I would have to sit down and think about how long that is, versus if you wanted to sell me a table that was 5 feet long, I'd go, oh, okay, I know exactly how long that is.
Right.
Simply because I'm more familiar with that unit of measurement. And most Americans are more familiar with the unit of measurement that is the USD than they are Bitcoin.
Sure, if you're not familiar, it's probably easier.
If you told me this car is worth, you know, 0.1 Bitcoin, I'm like, eh. Even I, someone who has long been steeped in cryptocurrency, have to think about, you know, what is that really worth?
$3,900?
And the only way I have of gauging that is relative to the USD anyway. So, I mean, what is 0.1 Bitcoin to me, and is that the equivalent of, what did you say, $3,900 or whatever to me? I understand in the long run, yes, we have to get away from measuring things in USD because it's a bad unit of measurement.
I think that we really can't start doing that until it stabilizes. I mean, it is getting less volatile as time goes on.
Sure.
But it's still very volatile. And until it evens out a bit, and it's tough, too, because here's the thing. Like, we keep improving technology. So the actual input in order to get all of our stuff, our goods and services, the input that that requires keeps going down and down and down and down. But since they keep making the number of dollars in the market go up and up and up and up, we barely, if any, notice that at all.
You could say it's Bitcoin's worth 20 times as much as a gold ounce. That's easier.
Mm.
Well, it could be easier, but not if you don't have any understanding of what a gold ounce is worth.
Sure.
And that's the thing. I mean, like, what Bitcoin is ultimately worth is its network. How many computers are checking this? How much effort and energy and equipment is invested in this? And that changes all the time. So it's really kind of hard to put a particular bead on this.
And go back to Doge. I do believe that they're going to create securities around it, like Bitcoin has the Lightning node. So I can see Doge being a viable, you know, trading method.
Well, isn't it true that Doge is limitless and they can always there's no cap on it?
It's limitless.
That's kind of the problem with Doge.
And the amount that they increase it by every time they increase it is like 10 billion. Seriously.
Well, it's meant to be a joke, right?
It was meant to be a joke.
And it's still a funny joke. But to me, the best joke is that you said, I think it's 33 cents, 34 cents. The best joke is that three of these are worth one United States dollar. $1 backed by the good faith and credit of the American government equal to three jokes.
Yep.
That, to me, is the best joke of Dogecoin. That it accomplished that with its little... What's the name of the dog?
The breed? Shiba Inu.
Yeah, that it accomplished that with that as its logo, it's just remarkable. And I think that's what Dogecoin really has going for it. At a time when all of these other cryptocurrencies are just super serious, Doge still knows how to laugh. What are your thoughts? 603-283-6160. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Longevity. Teamgaday.com.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Probably going to ruffle some feathers here, but, you know, we were just discussing it. I did IT work for 10 years, give or take, and I absolutely hate IT people. The vast majority of them are horrifically bad at their jobs. They don't know anything about network security, and I've worked with a lot of different IT consulting firms and did subcontracting work and did contracting work and consultancies. I did a lot of that, and I never saw anyone within the IT sphere that took security remotely seriously, or that took preventing ransomware for being destructive as remotely serious. And ransomware is one of the easiest things out there to get around if you get hit with it. You don't try to prevent the ransomware attack. That's sort of futile, because they're constantly working on ways to bypass whatever firewalls you're running or whatever. They're constantly working on ways to infiltrate your system. And honestly, if they really want to, they're going to social engineer their way in. You can't really do anything about your client clicking a link they shouldn't click. So you just have to accept that this is going to happen. Ransomware is by far the easiest one to recover from. All you have to do is regularly back up stuff. And ideally, have multiple versions of that stuff that you back up, stored in a cloud, so that if you have to restore a previous version, you can do that and minimize the loss to no more than a day. There's all sorts of software out there that allows people to do this automatically and to restore an entire company's files to 250, 300 computers with the simple click of a button. And yet IT companies and IT professionals are still not doing anything to actually have any sort of ransomware recovery mechanism in place. And this is why the pipeline thing that happened recently is so frustrating, because this should have been three clicks for a competent IT person to recover from this. Sure, you might have to reinstall some operating systems. There may have been some that were just too corrupted by the ransomware, but even then, everything should have been backed up. You reinstall the operating system. You hire people to reinstall the operating systems if you need.
You know what this reminds me of? I would hear all these stories of, so I was working on this paper for like 3 days, and then like the power went out and I lost everything. It's like, wait, you worked on this for 3 days and never clicked the little disk to save the darn thing?
Right.
Why?
It's very similar to that, except these companies that hire these IT people, they think that the IT person is clicking the little save thing for them.
Mm.
But in reality, they're usually not. They're opening up ports to make the end user's convenience more convenient. They're like, oh, you don't want to do this. Instead, we'll just set you up with this open port. You can, using the default port for RDP and your default... I've worked with companies that use the username of the employee's first name with the same name as their password. So if they were named like George, that was their username, and their password was George. And then when they get hit with ransomware, they go, how did this happen?
Because well, this I IT think those company companies put, have it coming.
No, it's, look, no, you're it's gonna, not their you're fault.
Gonna, no, it absolutely
it's the IT
is.
Person's
it
fault.
Is absolutely
no,
their fault.
As someone who did this professionally, it's the IT person's job to explain to them why that's bad.
Right.
But believe
and
it or not.
IT
right.
person
and,
didn't do
well,
it.
Well, and how many times are they saying, well, what I really care about is the I want it to be easier for my employees. I want the user interface to be easy, and they don't care about security. Well, if that's what you're focused on, then that's what you're going to get.
Well, not with a good IT person. That's the problem with the IT industry out there. Is like, oh, sure, you want these easy-to-guess passwords and usernames? That's not a problem at all.
Well, years ago, when my bank started their online banking app, I just went into my, you know, the brick-and-mortar bank, and I asked them, you know, I want to set this up, and they showed me, they walked me through it, and they set up my username and password. I didn't choose these things. They did it for me, and then they told me my password was... I'm not going to say what it was, because I don't want anyone having a vulnerability in the back, but it was like... It was just so simple.
Was
like,
it a temporary password that when
it was,
you
I've changed
the first it time, you had to set, you had
I changed
to change
it right away. I absolutely changed it, but I just don't want to even say it, because...
Was it something that you had to change, though? Because that's really common. They give you
I didn't
really...
have to change okay. it, but it
something
was,
along
it was
the
actually
lines
the clerk
of
that did it.
Or password, or user.
Yeah, I won't allude to anything, but yeah, it was very simple, very easy to guess. You know, like if anyone, you know...
The name of the company.
Oh, I don't even want to know. You don't even want to know. But, you know, I they're doing this for everyone, and I was just thinking like, oh, if I could just like, you know, run this plate, the next person going in, they'll know. Everyone can figure it out. What this password is, if the guy didn't have an online bank account, and that's what his intention was going
well,
in
that's
there.
The thing. If these companies want to maintain their dominance in a technologically advanced society, you better figure out how to vet your tech people.
Get better security.
Big hint. Good tech people to vet your tech people.
But the tech people are the ones who vet other tech people. I mean, it's just that whole racket with doctorate degrees all over again, except there's tech people who all suck equally, saying, oh, yeah, he's a great tech person. He'll do you right.
Check their
portfolio. He's just as bad as the other.
I mean, check their portfolio. See what they can do instead of paying attention to how many doctorates they have. Seriously, a lot of it is they think that the educational system that we're running on is any good whatsoever. It's not. So if you come in and it's like, oh, well, I have, you know,
well,
five degrees
in electronics. I wasn't talking about the education system at all. I've never had an IT company ask me for a degree, and I've never had any of my clients ask me for a degree. That was just, you know, how to get approved into being a doctor, you have to have the approval of other people who are already in that racket. Mm. And that's how it is with IT people. To really get in there, you have to get vouched for by this other IT person. Except it's not really like that. But, you know, if you have to get vetted to be an IT person, it's by another IT person who is probably not qualified to vet IT people.
Well, look at the effects of what they do. If they keep your stuff running, then they have some skill at keeping your stuff running.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say like one more thing about this article I'm reading. Is that the FBI said it has been investigating DarkSide, which said to share its malware tools with other criminal hackers.
What article are you talking about?
It's a CNN article about the Colonial Pipeline and their hacking.
Yeah, since you brought up the pipeline.
This is where it came from.
I was working on getting into that, but you just jumped like way down into the article.
Well, not really.
Segway with Bash. Just one of our many services here on Free Talk.
I just wanted to mention that because, like, you know, these malware hackers are basically, you know, sharing it with government agents. So now government agents can just pretend to do their own hacks. So it's like really, really bad tech support at this point.
Well, it's just like the FBI being the largest distributor of child pornography on the planet
right.
for the year 2019, I think it was. They're committing all of these crimes. They're using all of
and
these exploits and hacking tools.
They didn't even bother filling out the paperwork to do it.
Yes, and you know they have they say they're trying to cut down on the child pornography or whatever. Yet they, in quote, cutting down on the child pornography, end up becoming the largest distributor of child pornography
and
on the planet.
And adding to its supply. While they were in charge of this, they added new parts of child pornography. They added to the supply. It wasn't even just that they were distributing child pornography that existed. They added new stuff.
And this,
how did you get away with that?
In order to prevent people from being exploited by these ransomware hackers, the government has to exploit people and hit them with ransomware hacks.
I feel like it's so decompartmentalized that maybe not all the hands know what they're doing. And this is enough for them to, you know, say, oh, it's not our fault, you know, so...
Well, it's someone's fault.
I'm sure it is.
But. If I painted myself into a corner to the point where I got ransomed, my first response would be, how would you like a job? Because clearly you're better at this than my IT people.
Right?
Sure.
Well, like, okay.
Well, I mean, but why would that person
Here's the ransom you're asking. How about I give you double that and a job?
Well, usually that's the direction what government does, is that when they capture someone for doing, like, fraud and that sort of thing, they usually go, hey, you're really good at this. Can you help us catch fraud? And they offer big bucks, so why wouldn't they take it? Or they're being threatened for the rest of their lives in jail, and they don't really have much of a choice. I don't know if you saw Catch Me If You Can with the, you know... what's the name?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. yeah, and like that's basically what they did. Is they hired him after they caught him.
Well, they did that with at least one person. I don't know that they have a regular history of doing this, but according to the movie, they did at least do that with him.
Well, I would think this is a common thing. I would say that, you know, people are in such a vulnerable position that they're, you know, forced to, you know, at least talk, you know, and then maybe they can hire him because they have such an angle and, you know, wedge into them.
I wouldn't want to hire someone who was unethical enough that they would be hitting companies with ransomware.
Oh, I'd make sure that they got watched like a hawk, but
yeah.
They obviously have the skill.
Yeah, but the skill isn't enough for me. You have to also have the ethical guideline there.
Well, I mean, you just pointed out how difficult it is to even determine a person's skill level at tech.
Sure.
So, well, I mean, hey, you've got that figured out.
You do know that person is better than your current tech person. That's
right.
True.
So I'd get the people that I can trust to watch every bloody thing that person does.
But can you trust them if they misled you about how good of IT people they are?
That's why I would do more than one of them.
It's all a mess. But we're going to talk more about this pipeline and the ramifications of it. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.